The following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Milken Sea Audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swagcast.
Good evening. Welcome to the first of Broken Sea Audio Productions' special Halloween editions of OTR Swagcast. My name is Barnabas Collins. Willie, bring some refreshments for our guests. Willie! Blast! Good minions are so hard to find these days. I know that sound. As I suspected, we have a visitor. Well, well, if it isn't my dear cousin Quentin.
Good evening, Barnabas. I hope I'm not too late.
Not at all. I was just welcoming our guests. Tonight, we introduce the saga of the Collins family in the groundbreaking gothic soap opera known as Dark Shadows.
Ah, yes. I remember it well, even though it was a little while before I was introduced.
That was 1968, if I recall.
Indeed. But Dark Shadows itself ran on ABC TV from June 27th, 1966 to April 2nd. 1971.
And it was created by Dan Curtis, mastermind behind the excellent Night Stalker series.
Karl Kolchek, of course. That was a great show.
Another of Holweg's favorites.
He does enjoy these kinds of weird tales, doesn't he?
Mr. Curtis worked frequently with science fiction and horror writer Richard Matheson, and was producer and or director of a number of television adaptations of horror-related productions, including Dracula, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, The Picture of Dorian Gray, and Turn of the Screw, all made between 1968 and 1975.
Still, considering I was born in the 1800s, and you even earlier, 5 years was a small swatch of time to chronicle all of our family's deeds.
And a colorful family we had.
Not to mention those many people and other beings who crossed our paths. Witches, warlocks, ghosts, golems.
Werewolves.
And vampires. Let's not forget the parallel universes as well.
As if we could. And then there were the Leviathans, who tried to enslave the entire Collins family. But tonight, I thought it appropriate to perhaps bring a new generation here to enchanting Collinsport, Maine. To introduce listeners who perhaps might not have been about when Dark Shadows first aired to our curious and often tragic world.
An excellent idea. Our story begins with a young lady named Victoria Winters, played by Alexandra Mulkey, arriving here in Collinwood to begin her duties as governess to young David Collins, played by David Hennessy.
Intrigue unfolds as we eventually learn the mistress of the house Elizabeth Collins Stoddard, played by Joan Bennett, holds her own secrets. Then let us not forget the learned Dr. Julia Hoffman, played by the delightful Grayson Hall, and the beautiful Lara Parker as the charmingly wicked Angelique. There were also Lewis Edmonds as Roger Collins, Catherine Lee Scott as Maggie Evans, John Carlin as Willie Loomis, and later, David Selby as your good self. Ah, would that we had the time to acknowledge them all.
Yes, over time the cast grew quite large. However, a number of actors each played many roles, and as many actors came and went, some characters were played by several actors. But one, arguably the most celebrated, was Canadian actor Jonathan Freed, who played yourself, Barnabas.
And a fine job of playing an Englishman he did. I understand young Johnny Depp is slated to portray me in 2013.
So rumor has it. Ben Cross took on the role in 1991, as you'll recall.
Yes, a splendid performance. But then again, he really was English. I rather wish that TV series had lasted longer.
I would have liked to see who they would have chosen to play me eventually.
But enough of this ado. Tonight, Quentin and I proudly present the episode that began it all. From the brilliantly creative mind of Dan Curtis, we bring you Dark Shadow.
My name is Victoria Winters. My journey is beginning. A journey that I hope will open the doors of life to me and link my past with my future. A journey that will bring me to a strange and dark place. To the edge of the sea, high atop Widow's Hill. A house called Collinwood. A world I've never known. With people I've never met. People who tonight are still only shadows in my mind, but who will soon fill the days and nights of my tomorrows.
The story of Dark Shadows begins in the summer of 1966 with the arrival of Victoria Winters in Collinsport, Maine, a small fishing village. Vicky has been hired by the wealthy Collins family to be governess to 9-year-old David Collins. The mistress of Collinwood, Elizabeth Collins Stoddard, has not left the estate since the disappearance of her husband, Paul Stoddard, 18 years ago. Elizabeth's brother Roger and his troubled son David also reside in the great house, along with Elizabeth's 18-year-old daughter, Carolyn. An abandoned orphan who grew up in a New York foundling home, Vicky is hopeful that her new life in Collinsport will provide clues to her true identity. As she arrives in town, Vicky meets a mysterious man named Burke Devlin.
Excuse me. I wonder if you'd know if they have any taxis here.
I wouldn't know what they have here. Not anymore.
Well, how did they expect anyone to get to town?
A broomstick's a unicorn. And a chauffeur car. Can I give you a lift? I can take you to the hotel. You'll get a taxi there.
That's very kind of you, mister.
Devlin. Burke Devlin.
I'm Victoria Winters.
Welcome to the beginning and the end of the world, mister.
I'm afraid I'm not going that far. Only to a house called Collinwood. You know it.
Yes, I do. Very well. Shall we go?
Advising Vicky to stay away from Collinwood, Burke suggests she return to New York immediately. Collinsport Inn waitress Maggie Evans also warns Vicky to avoid the Collins family.
Move in there. But take a good look in that mirror right now. Because in 2 months, that pretty hair of yours is going to be one glorious shade of gray. You make it sound like some old English novel with rattling chains, ghosts in the corridors. You think that's wrong? I could tell you things about that house that would rock you from here all the way back to the railroad station. I'd rather not hear them. Okay. There's one born every minute.
Vicky is determined to continue her journey, unaware of the infinite mysteries that lie ahead.
I'm Victoria Winters.
Come in, Miss Winters.
The disturbed young David Collins, resentful of his father's plans to send him away, attempts to kill Roger by sabotaging his car. But Roger survives the near-fatal crash. After learning that Collinwood's caretaker, Matthew Morgan, has killed Bill Malloy, manager of the Collins fishing fleet, Vicky is kidnapped by Matthew and held captive in a secret room in the abandoned old house on the estate. But the ghost of Josette Collins protects Vicky from harm. And Matthew dies from fright after encountering the ghost of Bill Malloy. The unexpected arrival of Laura Collins, Roger's wife and David's mother, places David's life in great danger. A creature of the supernatural, Laura is an immortal phoenix, reborn from fiery ashes every 100 years. Laura has come back to reclaim her son and lure him into the flames.
David! David! No, David!
Oh, Vicky, I am going to give him eternal life. He's going to be reborn just as I've been reborn, century after century.
Oh, David! Please hear me, David! Go away, Vicky. He can't hear you. Go away before it's too late.
Look at these ashes. The phoenix is reborn!
After months of investigation, Burke obtains proof from Sam Evans that Roger was responsible for the automobile accident which sent Burke to prison.
Sam, refresh his memory. You were driving. The car was weaving all over the road. Okay, Sam. Now, Roger, you were driving the car. You hit the man. You killed him. Say it.
Roger, please.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Say it!
I was driving. I hit the man. I killed him.
And the money you gave Sam?
I gave the money to Sam to keep him quiet.
And now, just one more thing.
Please.
I sent an innocent man to prison for 5 years.
I... Say it! Say it!
An innocent man for 5 years. Say it or I'll choke it out.
I sent an innocent man to prison for 5 years.
At last,
Now it's over. I thought I wanted to see you rot in prison. But people like you rot wherever they are.
Elizabeth is shocked at the appearance of Jason McGuire, an unscrupulous friend of her missing husband. Jason forces Elizabeth to allow him to stay at Collinwood and blackmails her to remain silent about the mysterious circumstances surrounding her husband's disappearance.
I want you out of here, away from Collinwood, out of Collinport before morning.
I'm afraid that's impossible.
Oh, no, it isn't. Not necessary for you to be here.
Oh, it's not necessary for me. But it is for you.
What do you mean?
If I were to leave here, I might meet people. The authorities, the police. And I might want to talk to them.
No.
Yes.
You wouldn't. You agreed not to. You promised.
Wouldn't I? Anyway, why should it bother you if I want to look in here? I already know what's in here.
Then why don't you stay away?
Maybe I want to pay my respects.
Don't say that.
Why not? Paul was a good friend of mine. He may not have been a very good friend or husband to you, Liz, but he was a good and loyal friend to me. Pity you had to go and kill him. And weren't you fortunate that you had a good, loyal friend like me around to bury him for you?
Stop it.
I'm sorry, Liz, but you may be saved. But I won't say it again. Unless, of course, you force me to.
In the meantime, Willie Loomis, a drifter friend of Jason's, arrives in Collinsport and stirs up his own trouble.
You think you're a pretty big man in this town, don't you?
Come on, now.
No! No! Now, I get a kick out of these guys who act like they're so clean. When all the time they're trying to cover up their dirt.
There's the door. If you're smart, you'll walk out of it. If you're not, you'll be carried out.
Attaboy. Now you're talking like a real ex-con.
You're a dead jailbird.
Cool it, Bob. I'll handle this punk.
Joining Jason as an unwelcome house guest at Collinwood, Willie becomes fascinated by the Collins family wealth. The jewelry pictured in the portrait of Barnabas Collins holds particular intrigue for Willie. Learning that several Collins ancestors were buried with their jewels, Willie heads for the Collins mausoleum at Eagle Hill Cemetery to rob the graves. But instead, Willie uncovers the Collins family's most terrible secret.
Thank you.
My name is Victoria Winters. There are no limits to the things some men will do. They sink to the bottomless depths of corruption. They will desecrate sacred ground and violate that which should remain sealed forever.
Come in.
Mrs. Stoddard, are you busy?
Not really. Come on in.
Thank you.
What did you want?
Just wondered where you were.
Why?
House is so quiet.
Carolyn Dobbs, isn't she?
Yes.
She seems to be staying away from the house as much as possible.
She's very busy.
No. She's frightened of that man.
Well, I am too.
I'm sorry, Vicky.
Mrs. Stoddard, why is all this happening?
I'd rather not talk about it.
How much longer are we going to have to put up with Willie Loomis?
You don't have to worry about him anymore. I've taken care of him.
What do you mean?
He's leaving.
When?
Right away.
That's wonderful.
It was impossible for him to stay here any longer.
Carolyn's going to be very happy. I was afraid he was going to stay here for a long time. Is he leaving town?
Yes.
And Mr. McGuire is going with him?
No.
I thought they traveled everywhere together.
I really don't know, and I don't care.
What was it that made Willie want to leave?
Does it matter?
He's been acting so strangely lately. Even Mr. McGuire couldn't figure it out.
Couldn't figure what out?
Willie's interested in the Collins family.
The Collins family?
Yes, he's been asking all sorts of questions, going back 200 years. He even read up in some old books dealing with the family history.
Curious.
He was quite fascinated by that portrait in the foyer.
Which one?
That one. The one near the door of the man with all the jewelry.
Jewelry? Oh, yes. Barnabas. Barnabas Collins.
I've seen him standing in front of it, just staring at it.
Barnabas Collins was known for his jewelry. He wore quite a lot of it, as you can see in the portrait. It's strange that a man like Willie Loomis would be so interested in jewelry that only exists in a painting. Not what I wanted to hear.
Well, I thought you always insisted on the truth.
I insist on your keeping your promise.
And I'll keep it.
Your promise was that Willie would be gone from here last night.
Oh. As far as anyone can tell, he is.
He hasn't gone. His things are still here.
Well, maybe he decided to have one last night on the town.
You know that isn't true.
Who can be sure?
Collinsport offers very little entertainment for a man like your friend Willie.
If he were in any trouble, we'd have heard about it. Willie is not famous for his anonymity.
It was bad enough when he was here, but at least I thought we were keeping an eye on him.
Now, who knows what he's up to?
Maybe he decided to leave without any fond farewells.
I can imagine him leaving without any fond farewells, but not without the money.
Then isn't that our assurance that he'll turn up sooner or later?
I don't want it sooner or later. I want it now.
But I've looked for him every place conceivable.
Well, I suggest you look for him in a few inconceivable places. Knowing Willie, that's probably where he'll be.
But listen, it just doesn't make sense. Now, you're asking me to look for someone and bring him here. Just to send him away again.
Are you sure you don't know where he is and what he's doing?
Well, as I've told you, I don't know.
I know, but how can I be sure?
Because you have my word for it.
Your word?
Yes, my word.
I've had your word once before.
And I kept it. I haven't said a word to anyone about our agreement.
You were paid very well for your services, and our agreement was that you were never to return to Collinwood.
Oh, Mrs. Stoddard.
Yes?
I was making up Mr. Loomis's room, because you said he was leaving, but...
But his departure has been delayed. You can make up his room later in the day.
He'll be gone by then?
I'm sure he will. Will you let me know when he's gone?
I didn't really think he was leaving.
Why did you say that?
Because he didn't act like somebody that was getting ready to go anywhere.
What are you talking about?
I saw him prowling around the tool shed.
The tool shed? When?
Last night.
Are you sure?
Well, I know what I see when I see it. He apparently needed tools for some reason.
Yes, yes, of course. But have you any idea what that reason might have been?
With your Mr. Loomis, who's to tell? He's one of the strangest young men I've ever met. All the time you're talking to him, you know he's thinking something, but you have no idea exactly what it is.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Of course, you're such an old friend of his, you probably know what he's thinking all the time.
Well, in this particular instance, I'm not so sure.
Who's there? Who's there? Where are you? I know someone is here. Evil. That's what's here. I can feel it in the air. Evil. Evil. I know you're here.
Nobody hangs up a thing around here. Yes?
I'd like to see Mrs. Stoddard, if you'd be so kind.
Mrs. Stoddard?
This is Collinwood, isn't it?
Yes.
And the mistress here is Mrs. Elizabeth Collin Stoddard, is she not?
Yes.
Then perhaps you'd do me the courtesy to inform Mrs. Stoddard that her cousin is calling and wishes to pay his respects.
Her cousin?
Yes, her cousin from England.
From England? Oh, please, come in.
I'd be delighted, thank you.
Oh, would you like to wait in the drawing room?
Here would be fine, Hedda.
Oh, well, I'll let Mrs. Stoddard know.
you're here.
Oh, madam, if you would, you may tell her that it's Barnabas Collins.
My name is Victoria Winters. Night is drawing nearer and nearer to Collinwood, and the man who disappeared into another night has not been found. But out of the falling dusk, another man has come. A stranger who is not a stranger. A man with a face long familiar to those who live at Collinwood. A man who has come a great distance, but who still bears deep within him a soul shaped by the far country from which he came.
I beg your pardon.
This is Barnabas.
And you're Elizabeth. Cousin Elizabeth.
Cousin Elizabeth? Yes, I guess I am.
I apologize for coming without letting you know in advance.
It's uncanny.
What is?
But that portrait over there, have you seen it?
Yes. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
If it weren't for the clothes. Forgive me for staring, but for the moment it seems as though I'd seen a...
ghost?
Well, the likeness is remarkable. I can hardly believe it.
The Collins blood always had a certain persistent strength.
This is no way to greet a relative. Welcome to Collins.
Thank you, cousin.
Forgive my curiosity, but I understood that Barnabas Collins, the son of Naomi and Joshua Collins, died a few years after he went to England.
Well, that's true, but apparently the family history didn't tell of his marriage and the fact that he had a son who proved to be my great-great-grandfather.
It's strange that no one ever heard of it.
Well, if one considers communications in those days, well, a family separated by great distances sometimes lost track of some of its members.
I suppose you're right. Shall we go into the drawing room?
Thank you.
So there's a whole branch of the Collins family flourishing in England, and I never knew it.
Flourishing may be hardly the word for it. Alas, I am the sole remaining member.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Have you no family of your own?
As yet, no.
But there's still hope.
Oh, there's always hope.
Anyone definite?
Not as yet.
Did you come to America to find a bride?
Well, that wasn't my sole purpose, but I don't rule it out as a possibility.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Shall we sit down?
Thank you.
What were your reasons for coming to America? Is it a business trip or just a visit? Forgive my asking all these questions.
Well, at the moment I consider it a visit. But there's some likelihood that I may settle here permanently, in Collinsport.
I can hardly believe it. Another Collins, I can't tell you how pleased I am. Now, you're descended from Barnabas Collins, but the rest of the family, the whole history. I want to hear it. Please give me the details.
There's really very little to tell.
Oh, I doubt that.
But perhaps there's too much for this initial visit. After all, I only wanted to present myself and pay my respects.
I'm sure you're safe at dinner.
I wouldn't want to impose on your time any further. I did come unannounced.
Oh, that doesn't matter. But please stay a little while longer. You have other cousins to meet. My brother Roger and his little boy David and my daughter Carol.
I look forward to it eagerly. But perhaps another time. I may come again, may I not?
Oh, certainly. And please don't feel that you have to be so formal.
You're very kind.
I realize I should ask you to stay here at Collinwood, but at the moment, the household is a little upset. We have temporary guests.
Oh, please, even to think of it is sufficient courtesy. But I think you realize when I say that I prefer more independent quarters.
I understand perfectly. But you must come again, and often.
I shall. I've always loved Collinwood. It's just as I remembered it.
Remember it? But you've never been here before.
But I feel as though I have. Descriptions, stories, they've all been handed down from generation to generation. And being here now is like returning to a memory from childhood. Oh, don't be surprised if I know Collinwood quite well. Even the old house near Widow's Hill, where our poor, unfortunate ancestors, Jeremiah and Josette Collins, lived for a time. And I understand that Joshua Collins, my direct ancestor, lived there with his family, even after this house was built.
Well, you certainly were well schooled in the family history.
I wouldn't be a Collins if I weren't. And I wouldn't be a Collins if I didn't recognize in my blood, in my soul, my roots are here. And perhaps my destiny. Oh, forgive me. I tend at times to romanticize. Promise you'll pay no attention.
I understand.
Well, now I must go.
Oh, you must be tired after your trip.
Yes, it was a long and difficult journey.
You must be exhausted.
Like coming from one world to another.
Is life in England so different from it is here?
Oh, no, of course not. And yet, so much is so different. But Collinwood hasn't changed. I mean, from what I've always heard. And I can't tell you how grateful I am for that. How very grateful.
Now make sure that you get back here in time for dinner. Yesterday when you went out to play...
I forgot. I won't again.
Let's hope not. You know what it does to Mrs. Johnson.
Well, I don't think Mrs. Johnson was so angry about me being late. I think she was angry because Mr. Loomis didn't show up at all.
You just forget about Mr. Loomis and see to it that you get back here on time.
He didn't come back last night or today, did he?
No, he didn't.
Maybe he's gone for good.
Maybe.
You didn't like him, did you?
David, are you going out to play or aren't you?
Well, I sort of liked him. I sort of hope he comes back.
Now, you must promise to come whenever you like. You're not a stranger, you know. You're a member of the family.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't know you were busy.
Oh, come in, Vicky, please. I want you to meet a cousin of mine. Yes, this is my cousin Barnabas from England. Barnabas? This is Vicky. Victoria Winters. She's my nephew's tutor.
How do you do?
I'm very pleased to meet you.
I don't have to tell you that Mr. Collins is a descendant of the young man whose portrait hangs in the foyer.
No, you don't. You look so much alike.
Vicky is more like one of the family than a tutor.
Do you let them call you Vicky when your name is Victoria?
Why, yes. We're not very formal with each other.
But the name Victoria is so beautiful to me, I couldn't possibly surrender a syllable of it. Oh, forgive me. As I explained to my cousin, I indulge in, fanciful attitudes from time to time. They're not to be taken seriously. And now, good evening.
I'll take you to the door.
Oh, no, please. I'd feel more at home if I let myself out. Goodbye, Elizabeth. Goodbye, Miss Winters. Miss Victoria.
What an extraordinary man.
I didn't even know I had a cousin in England, and here he is.
He's so
formal.
He's almost courtly.
That's the way a true Collins should be. courteous,
well-spoken.
Certainly is that.
You know something? It's quite amazing. He was brought up on stories about Collinwood. He knows the place as if he'd lived here.
Is he going to stay here?
No, he'd prefer, as he put it, more independent quarters in town. I guess it's just as well at the moment.
Did Mr. McGuire find Willie or find out where he is?
No, he's still out looking for him, and I hope to heaven he finds him. Knowing he's around and not being able to keep an eye on him troubles me, to say the least.
But when I saw him from my window the other night, I was positive that he was leaving, and I'm sure that he was carrying his sea bag with him.
But he couldn't have. His clothes were here the next morning.
But he was carrying something.
I hate to think what he'd take. Oh, why did I ever let that man set foot in this house?
Me?
Well, yes. I've seen your portrait a million times.
My portrait? You mean my ancestor's portrait, don't you?
You mean you're not the man from the portrait in the foyer?
How could I be?
You mean you're not a ghost?
Do you really think I am?
Of course.
I'm not sure I believe you, David.
How do you know my name?
Your Aunt Elizabeth told me I had a cousin named David.
Cousin? No kidding, you're my cousin. And you're not a ghost.
Well, if I were a ghost, would you be talking to me so calmly?
Yes, I would. I've talked to ghosts before.
You have?
Yes, right here in this house. And when you came in, I thought I was seeing another ghost.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
That's okay. So you're really my cousin?
That's right. Now tell me more about those ghosts.
Well, my favorite one, of course, is Josette. That's her picture, there.
Our ancestor from over 100 years ago.
That's right.
And she actually appeared to you and talked to you?
Yes, and even now I know when she's here, in the room.
Oh?
The picture glows, and the air smells like jasmine. And if you think very, very hard, you can get some kind of message. Do you want to try it right now?
I don't think so.
You're not afraid, are you?
Well, perhaps I am.
Don't be. She wouldn't hurt you. She'd help you. You know, kind of protect you. Especially if you're a cop.
I'll have to remember that.
Would you want me to show you around?
Oh, thank you, but that won't be necessary.
But there are thousands of secret passageways upstairs.
I know.
You know? You mean you've been here before?
No, but as I explained to your aunt, I heard so many stories about Collinwood when I was a child that I feel I've been here all my life.
Well, what about the passageway that leads to a little room on top of the roof?
A winding staircase.
That's right.
And a view of the sea beyond Widow's Hill.
You've got it perfect. And do you know what that room's best for?
Looking at the sea.
Yes. But at sunrise, when the water, when the sun comes over the ocean, everything begins to change color. Right in front of your eyes.
Sunrise?
I come out here sometimes early in the morning, before anybody knows I'm awake. Would you like to come with me sometime?
Perhaps. Sometime.
Sunrise. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm sure.
What's the matter?
Why, nothing. What makes you ask?
For a minute, you seemed sort of sad. Like you were remembering something that you'd lost a long, long time ago.
But I haven't lost anything.
I was talking about a sunrise. Maybe it was a sunrise that you saw, only at your home. And it makes you sad to think about it.
Perhaps.
Do you miss your home?
I did, for a long time. But I don't anymore.
Time to wash your hands for dinner.
Did Mr. Loomis come back?
No. And David, I want you to stop asking about him.
I thought I saw him earlier.
You saw him?
Well, I thought I did. But only it turned out to be somebody else. Turned out to be my cousin.
Oh, where'd you meet him?
At the old house. That's where I was playing. And that's where I met him.
Barnabas was at the old house?
Yes. At first, I thought he was the ghost of the man in that portrait. But then, I was disappointed to find out that he wasn't.
Why would he go to the old house?
I don't know, but he certainly knows his way around for someone who's never been there before.
Yes, well, he told me he'd been brought up on stories about Tom.
He must have heard a lot of stories.
Well, not only stories, but descriptions. Maybe he even saw pictures and drawings.
Well, maybe. You know, I think there's something funny.
David, I want you to go up and wash your hands now, or you're going to be late for dinner.
I think he talks funny. The words he uses. He talks the way people do in books.
Well, speaking correctly is hardly a fault.
Well, I wasn't saying it was a fault. I meant that it just sounded funny.
Well, I hope you start sounding equally funny now. Hurry up and get ready for dinner.
David, didn't you hear your aunt?
You know what? He doesn't look anything like the portrait.
Well, that's ridiculous. He looks exactly like it.
No, he doesn't. The man in this portrait seems as though he's angry at someone. But Barnabas, my cousin that I met at the old house, he seems more sad than angry. It seems as though he's remembering something that he's lost a long time ago. Maybe that's when I thought he was a ghost. He seemed as though he was haunting the rooms instead of just walking through them.
I was a Collins. Why didn't you protect me? Where were you when I was turned into something that even my own father loathed? If his ghost is here with yours, tell him I come home. I claim this house as mine. And whatever power you or he may have is ended. I am free now and alive. Chains with which he bound me are broken. And I've returned to live the life I never had. Whatever that may turn out to be.
My name is Victoria Winters. There are two great houses at Collinwood. One, alive with the present. And the other, slowly decaying, filled with the dead memories of the past.
David, ask for me if you're in here. Come on, David, it's getting dark outside. David, is that you? David, I know it's you. Sometimes you're the most exasperating boy in the world. David, open the door! David!
Miss Winters.
Oh, Mr. Collins.
I'm afraid I startled you. I'm terribly sorry. I didn't think anyone would be here.
It's all right.
I was revisiting my ancestral past. You seem to be having difficulty with the door.
Oh, the wind blew it shut.
The wind. Yes, the wind can do things like that. There you are.
But that door was shut tight. How did you open it?
It requires a technique and a little practice.
You sound as though you spent a lot of time here.
Do I? The door has a tendency to stick.
Now, how could you know that if you've never been here until this visit?
I haven't, actually. But I know every inch of it.
But how?
Oh, from old letters and family journals. From you, my youth, spent listening to my elders speak of the past.
This house has a great many stories to tell.
Yes, and I know all of them in detail.
It must have been a very beautiful house.
Yes, it was. And it's now more beautiful than ever.
But it's all falling apart.
It will be a long time before this house falls apart. It was made to last forever.
But nothing lasts forever.
Ooh, well, let's see about that. What about the pyramids of Egypt?
You've got me there. You can't compare the pyramids to this house.
Why can't I?
Because they were built to last indefinitely.
And how long is indefinitely?
Well, some of them have lasted for 5,000 years.
Some longer than that. But tell me the difference between forever and indefinitely.
Well, forever is something that never ends. And indefinitely is something that will end at some time.
Very good. You're a bright girl, Miss Winters.
Thank you.
In a way, you can compare the pyramids to this house. Both were built to support an ego and perpetuate a memory. But both merely survived as architectural feats.
Oh, but to me, this house has always been a reminder of the enterprise of the people who settled here.
Yes, in a way, you're right. The design and construction of this house represented a marriage of the elegance of Europe and the vigor and enterprise of the New World. The foundations were made from rocks left behind by glaciers thousands of years ago. The beams and supports were cut from ancient local forests. The plaster walls were made from crushed clamshells and horsehair. Bricks were imported from Holland. That dusty chandelier brought over from France gleamed with hypnotic brilliance That faded wallpaper was especially designed by a Belgian artist. The parquet floors were installed by an Italian craftsman. Cornices and moldings were the effort of a Spanish craftsman. It was a house to be envied by a prince. But in spite of all this, the total effort was an agony to man. Men were driven to their limits. What should have been an act and labor of love became a hateful thing. There were the crippled and the dead. Like the pyramids, one could ask, was it worth it?
You paint a very dismal picture.
It is the only true one. Beautiful exterior belied the hatred and distrust that lived beneath this roof. Nothing was ever real here. The love and happiness that one would expect was never lived in the lives of those who lived here.
Is it really that bad?
Yes. This room saw much hatred. Saw families divide and devour each other. On this stairs, a father and son hurled words at each other. Words that would lead to the death of the son. The death?
Oh, forgive me. Nothing that ever happened here is funny.
Well, you've made your point in comparing this house to the pyramids. But there is one difference between them. The pyramids were designed to be tombs.
You're right. This house was not designed to be a tomb.
Well, hello, kitten. How's my favorite niece?
Your only niece. How was your trip?
Well, business, but it was good to get away from here for a while.
And how was Boston?
Oh, same old town. All New England chowder and Indian pudding. I brought a recipe for the pudding back to Mrs. Johnson, but I really don't think it'll do any good.
You just reminded me of something.
What of?
When I was a little girl, you always used to bring me something from your trip.
But I tried, so I did.
Oh, you look forward to your coming home. I guess you're the only father I knew.
And now I'm reduced to bringing back recipes for Indian pudding to Mrs. Johnson. I suppose you think she doesn't think that I'll be a father image to her, do you? Well, now, how is your mother feeling?
Oh, physically, she's improved tremendously. Back to her old, energetic self.
Oh, that's good news.
But there is something bothering her. And it has to do with Jason McGuire.
Well, that's bad news. All right, kitten. Now I'll get out my score pad and you can catch me up on the number of guests we have now ensconced here.
Well, Jason is still here.
Check.
But Willie Loomis has gone.
Oh, bravo. You can't keep the jet set down, can you? Did he accept an invitation from the Prince and Princess of Monaco, or could he simply not stand another one of Mrs. Johnson's famous boiled dinners?
I don't know the real reason. I'm only thankful that he's gone. No one seems to know where.
Well, I fully expected guests to be swinging from the rafters when I returned.
That was very nearly the case.
What do you mean?
Well, there's another Collins in town.
Which one?
Barnabas Collins.
Barnabas Collins? The only Barnabas Collins I know is the one in the portrait out there.
Well, evidently this one is descended from that one.
Well, I thought I knew all of the Collinses.
This is the part of the family that went to England. I haven't met him yet.
I wonder what he wants.
It's nice of you to invite me up.
Well, I thought you'd want to meet Carolyn.
I want to meet everyone.
Thank you. I'll see if she's in there. Carolyn? Oh, Roger, I'm glad you're back.
Oh, why?
Barnabas Collins is here and wants to meet you.
Oh, well, I'd like to meet him, too.
So would I. Mr. Collins? This is Carolyn Stoddard. Carolyn, this is Barnabas Collins. How do you do?
I'm very happy to meet you. You're every bit as beautiful as you've been described.
Thank you. And this is Roger Collins.
Roger, very pleased to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Well, I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Have you?
Yes, it's reassuring to know that there's still part of the family is still alive. In England, they've no longer exist.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Yes, we're very much in existence here. We are very much alive here.
It's that aliveness that interests me.
Well, now that you finally met him, what do you think of him?
I like him very much.
But don't you think there's something a little bit strange about him?
Oh, of course. He's European. Has that old world charm.
No, it's something else. The way he talks, the words he chooses, it's as though they have some other meaning to him.
I don't follow you.
Well, it's as though he's talking to himself, commenting, making notes to himself.
Vicky, whatever you're talking about.
I don't know. Nothing. I guess I'm just imagining things.
It's probably because Barnabas Collins has such a strong imagination.
What do you know about his imagination?
He was letting it run pretty loose when I met him down at the old house.
In what way? Oh, in the way he was talking about the house. He seemed to know all about the construction of it. Everything, right down to the size of the beams and the boards and the nails and the bricks and the rafters. And he knew stories about the foundations of it. And even the names of some of the people who built the house.
It's amazing.
He also knew all sorts of incidents that occurred. Actual arguments that took place in the house.
You mean he has all the dirt on the Collins ancestors?
It seems that way to me.
Well, maybe he's a history buff.
Well, he said that he got his information from journals and letters and stories that were told him.
Oh, Vicky, if he's done that much research on it, then the things he said must be fact, not imagination.
There's something more to it than that. He has a feeling about that house that's just uncanny.
What do you mean?
You know how the front door to the old house sometimes sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't get it unstuck. And he just walked over to it. And with the slightest flick of his wrist, opened the door.
That's the talent of man.
Well, whether it's talent or imagination, he made me believe that he had opened that door 1,000 times. It was as though he'd actually lived there.
We keep most of the family records and journals in here.
I would like to look through them sometime.
Oh, please feel free to do so.
This is a very nice room.
Yes, I understand it's the one that Jeremiah Collins used for his business purposes.
That's possible. Jeremiah would have liked this kind of room.
You're very intimate with our ancestral line, aren't you?
Call it a hobby.
Oh, care for a drink?
Thank you. Sherry, please.
Well, I believe you're in luck.
Amontillado.
Yes, how did you know?
Oh, a family favorite. Jeremiah drank it frequently. I merely assumed that his descendants would follow in his particular taste.
Yes, I believe that Jeremiah owned part of a vineyard in Spain.
Yes, near Malaga, I believe.
I don't know where it was, but I know that shipments arrived long after he was dead. And then I think, just before World War II, the family disposed of the interest in the vineyard. We have several bottles left. Well, here we are. Now, shall we drink your visit?
I'd rather drink to eternal health.
Eternal health? Eternal life?
To the Collins family.
Well, that's rather a long time, but I'll drink to it.
Excellent.
Oh, may I see that ring?
Certainly.
This ring. I've seen it before.
Have you?
It's unforgettable. The painting of Barnabas Collins. It's on his finger. It's a most unusual ring. All my life I remember seeing it in the painting. I used to look at it frequently when I was young. It's just as I remember it. The artist did a remarkable job in...
Yes, the artist took great pains to be accurate. Joshua Collins took great pride in his jewelry. It was almost part of his personality.
Yes. It was handed down to you, was it?
Yes, handed down.
It's certainly very handsome.
Thank you.
May I ask why you came here?
Well, Europe was a lonely place for me. There was no family. And when one has the wealth that I have, there are seldom true friends. So I came to the place where I would find family, affection, to the place where my family originated.
Oh, you're seeking a closer relationship from this family?
Well, that is, if they will open their arms to me.
Well, I'm sure it will.
Oh, I don't mean to suggest that I'm going to be a permanent guest. Rather, if the situation permits, I want to go into business.
Oh, here in Collinsport?
Yes. I would like to spend some time talking to you about it. I was hoping that perhaps you might offer some suggestions as to where to invest in the area.
Oh, yes, I should be happy to, though I'm not the best investment counselor in the vicinity, but I would be able to at least point you out in the right direction.
Well, I couldn't ask for more than that. Is there a small shipyard in the town?
Yes, there is, as a matter of fact. They haven't been building many ships, though, in several years.
Well, I might be interested in looking into that.
Well, that's your line?
Yes. Just as it was with the previous Barnabas Collins.
It's so good to see someone friendly show up here after the last few that arrived. Yes, he seems awfully nice. And so interesting. You know, I thought it might be a good idea if he'd give David some history lessons. He has such a strange way of bringing the past to life.
Gee, I wish you'd get it out of your head that everyone is strange. He's merely from the European branch.
Barnabas is leaving now.
Oh, must you go so soon?
I have a call to make.
But you'll visit us again.
Absolutely,
and soon.
The old Collins family were not of the friendliest, but the present family is very warm indeed.
Well, that's nice of you to say so.
Good night, Carolyn. Good night, Miss Winters. Good night, Roger.
Good night, Barnabas. Good night, Mr. Collins.
Good night, Barnabas. I'll be talking to you shortly.
I'll contact you.
Well, Uncle Roger, you spent most of the time with him. What do you think of him?
I think he's a marvelous man, and he's extremely wealthy.
Well, it's good to hear that you like someone.
Did you notice it?
Notice what?
The ring.
What ring?
This ring?
What do you mean?
He was wearing the very same ring.
No, I didn't know.
It's an heirloom. I wish it had been handed down to me.
There's something else very strange.
What's that?
This painting. Have you noticed how much he resembles? Yes. It's more than a resemblance. It's almost as if it were exactly a portrait of him.
Have a good evening and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby. Ha 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 ha!